Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to
Ray and Kay today, talking sports with friends.
Ray and Kay today.
Sports radio on the dial. Check us out. We'll make you smile.
Ray
and they spit it, don't play, and we're talking nothing but the NFL and NBA.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. You're listening to Ray and Tay today, and I'm Ray, Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor. Hope you're enjoying your holidays, everybody. Give us a call. Let's talk some sports. 718-664-9098. Like always, we got your well wishes and your emails, and we appreciate it. Thank you from Ray and Tay today at gmail.com. Also, tweet us, Facebook us, and check out rayandtaytoday.com. A lot of great interviews. Ray, I thought the last couple of interviews with George Reister and Wesley Walker were definitely fascinating, talking some NFL and some college football. So the listeners should go and, check it out. It's definitely a little bit more insightful than your average sports radio show with the 2 to 3 minute interview. Ray and Tay get a little deeper. We get a little deeper, Ray, you know?
Yeah, they sit on the couch and they talk to us. They kick it with us. And especially those ex-NFL players and professional sports athletes, they have a lot of stories to tell, both personally and as athletes.
No, it was definitely fascinating. Now, you want to talk about fascinating. I did not know this, that in NBA history, I forgot which two teams, but only two teams have ever had a 10-game homestand, and the biggest one this year is a 9-game homestand, which started last night for the L.A. Clippers, where they took out the Warriors, a very injured Warrior team, in and out of the lineup. David Lee's back, but no Bogut, stuff like that. 100-86. I don't know. Want to get your thoughts. We're going to, obviously talk about the NBA, the Christmas games. We'll get everybody with 5 bowl games this weekend, and Monday we'll be back with, the other big games, and then finish strong with the NFL, talk some Pro Bowl. But, Ray, what did you feel about these Clippers? They've been up and down. Warriors have been the best team, but they're starting to lose a little bit now. What were your thoughts about this last game of the Christmas 5-game buffet?
Oh, man. First of all, the NBA always does an awesome job scheduling.
Awesome. And I like the jerseys this year. Did you like them?
Oh, with the
I finally
names?
Thought they had good jerseys, yeah. I like them, Ray. Name? I like them.
I don't know. They got to grow on me. They're better than those neon jerseys they used or whatever those were last year.
I'm saying these are better. Come on, be nice. It's the holiday.
Okay, all right. It's the holiday. I'll be nice to the chief designer. But you know what? The Clippers are one of those teams. Look, they're 20-10, 12-3 at Staples. The Clippers, to me, are a team that needs to, after the All-Star break, really go on a run and try to be dominant. For whatever it's worth, I don't think this team can win if they don't have home court. The Oklahoma City Thunder can. The San Antonio Spurs can.
Yeah,
and
that's
Memphis
a great point.
Can. But I don't think the Clippers can. I don't think the Clippers in a 2-3 matchup or even a 1-4 matchup, they can win 3 or 4 games on the road. So to me, it's very important that this team get the top 4 seed and a top 2 or 3 seed if they really want to have a chance.
When you say that, though, let me ask you, when you say that, is it because of Jordan and Blake? It's not CP3. I think he travels everywhere.
Well,
but what
he does, though, but in his career, has Chris Paul really done much in the playoffs?
No,
I mean,
both have been.
And I don't know if that's road or home. I have to look at his stats, home versus road. I don't have that information in front of me.
But it's
the role players. It's the fact that they just don't have playoff experience on the roster. Think about who's except for Doc Rivers, right? But think about on the player side, who's really done anything on that team?
Well, Turkaloo and Big Baby have gone deep in the playoffs. But they're role players. You're right. I'm picking up a little bit. Sad. Ray's gonna try to see if he can fix the line. Take it back. I need to call back from the cell phone. The static is crazy. So anyway, I mean, that was a good game, and Ray's right about the Clippers. There you go. You there, Ray? So he's definitely right about the Clippers, and, you know, the Warriors still looking good at 23-5, and, you know, they're 13-4 on the road, but they've definitely been losing a little bit more as of late. Ray, you back with us with that Cavalier Heat game? Yeah, so Ray, we'll call in. That Cavalier Heat game was a pretty good game. You're back? Yeah.
I'm back. Better connection, better?
Definitely. So with the Cavaliers and Heat, Ray, one, everything was done right, respectful in Miami. You know, they sort of jabbed at him during the game, but through that little video highlight in the intro, it was pretty much a warm welcome. This Heat team is struggling, but what I did like is the heart of Dwayne Wade. Dang, Granger hit a big shot. It'll be interesting to see, you know, McRoberts is out for the season, and then now the Cavs have lost Varejao. So if they don't get a big man, you know that they're not getting through the East of the championship, because they did not look that impressive yesterday, even against the banged-up Miami Heat team, without a Bosch or a McRoberts. So I was happy for the Heat. You know, D-Wade is D-Wade, and, you know, different guys, you know, showed up and played. The Heat have been struggling, though. I mean, they're not even 500, 14-16, and that's a lot of injuries. Wade's been out. But the Cavaliers, I want to ask you, what do they do? Do you get a Robert Sacre? Do you try to get Mozgov from Denver? What is the move? Now, the Celtics have three centers with Brandon Wright, Zeller, and Olenek. Do they, you know, do the Cavs try to get one of those guys? Where do they go? Because they're going to have to make a move. They've been talking to teams. What's next for the Cavs?
The problem is, this late in the season, you're going to get a limited player, right? So either you're going to get an offensive player, you're going to get a defensive player. There's not really a big man
out there.
There's
not a
Varejao
out there, probably.
Right. There's not a guy that's going to give you, what did Varejao give you? Probably, what, 12 and 10, something like that?
He wasn't having a great season.
Stats.
Yeah, he was like 11 and 9.
Yeah, he gave you 9.8, so basically 10 points per game. Oh, really? Only 10.5. Okay, so not
yeah,
a
this year his stats were down, yeah.
Below his career numbers, right?
Definitely.
But now you look at who's rebounding on that team, and
it's only
you need help.
An offensive glass,
right.
That's it.
Right. And you need LeBron. I mean, other than, you know, LeBron and Love, nobody else is rebounding in Tristan Thompson, right? So do you look for an offensive big man? Do you look for a defensive big man? Do you look for a shot blocker? Because if you think about it, they don't have anybody that protects the paint. They have trouble defending the wing, and they don't have a rim protector. So
yeah.
What do you choose?
Can I ask you this? How about they might have to up the ante, and maybe they can get somebody better than Varejao if they do this. But maybe, Ray, you're going to have to let go of Dion Waiters.
Dion Waiters, they've been dangling out there for a trade since he was drafted out of Syracuse. This is a relationship that somebody in that front office doesn't like Dion Waiters, because he's always, you know, when there's smoke, there's fire. He's always on the block. So
could you get
Aldrich
or Smith from the Knicks, who could be pretty decent for them, with maybe like a Shumpert for Waiters and, you know, one of their young players? What about something like that?
I don't think the call Aldridge is that interesting, or Smith is that interesting to them. You know, to me, they need, I'm going to throw out a name, an old school name. They need like an Otis Thorpe type of player. They need a, you know,
you get crazy. You're all nostalgic, the holidays. You wish Otis Thorpe was coming through that door, ladies and gentlemen. I know, right? I know. So let's keep it moving.
They need a defensive rebounder, shot blocker.
And especially to contend with the team that we really need to talk about, and it's the Chicago Bulls. At 20-9, And D Rose is starting to play. They smacked up the Lakers. You know, no Kobe, even though they won the other night without him. 113-93. Lakers just atrocious at 9-20. Swaggy P and the boys. But this Bulls team, Ray, I know you saw, last week, when they beat Memphis, Derrick Rose is back. And he's starting to play like D Rose. And it's nice to see. And him and Butler, Ray, it's getting really interesting. I think this Bull team is exactly who I thought they would be. They're looking for their eyes on the prize for a chip. I like the Bulls.
Well, you know, and quiet is kept. You saw how Kobe gave Powell that big hug. Quiet is kept. Powell Gasol still.
Oh, he's great.
He still got juice in the tank. What was he, 23-13?
He's playing great.
Three assists, a couple of blocks.
And he took it to his brother. He took it to Mark the other night when they put battle. He was like, yo, I got you, brother.
That's what I'm saying. And quiet is kept. If Jimmy Butler is scoring, so Pau Gasol can be your third offensive option. Remember how good he was in L.A. when he was the second option, and then when they had, you know, when they had both big men in play and he was the third option. Reminds me a little bit about those L.A. days when they won two championships, he and Kobe. So I like that Chicago team. And, again, with the emergence of Jimmy Butler, it lets everybody slot in that role one level below prime time. It lets a guy like Mike Dunleavy roam around and do his thing. It takes the offensive pressure off of Joakim Noah, and he can just rebound and play defense and hustle. Right?
And make picks and great passes.
Yeah, and lets a guy like Mirotić come off the bench and do his thing. And even, you know, and Aaron Brooks, Taj Gibson, right? These guys can
Heinrich,
play a role.
They're loaded. They're loaded. First Heinrich time, plays good. Can... I mean, hey, and Brooks, give him credit. He's bounced around in his career. But, you know, when he comes in as like sort of a little scoring point guard off the bench, Brooks is dangerous. You know, he's definitely a player. Definitely. So we got to talk about this game. I think one of the better games of the day, 114-106, the Thunder without Durant win in San Antonio. And just when you look at Russell Westbrook and what he's doing, 34, 5 rebounds, 11 assists. When he wants to score, I don't think anyone can stop him. And I wanted to ask you, because right now he's sort of, to me, a top five player in the NBA. Statistically, he's showing, you know, for the amount of games he has played, he's ranked top five percentage-wise. But where would you put him? If we both sort of accepted and agreed that it's LeBron, Durant, Davis, maybe Harden, but is Westbrook 4, 5? He's not any lower than 5 right now to me. Where would you put Westbrook?
I tell you what, as tenacious as he is on the defensive end with his five steals, he could be better than James Harden.
Yeah, I think so.
Just because when he's on the court, I'll give you a different scenario. He's almost, now this is a little crazy, and you know I don't like his game as a pure point guard, but he's almost like a Lawrence Taylor was in football, where you have to account for this guy at all times, offensively and defensively. You got to know where Russ, you know, almost more than Kevin Durant, because Kevin Durant on the defensive end doesn't have the impact that Russell Westbrook has. But you need to know where Russell Westbrook is at all times, because he'll steal the ball on defense, he'll guard the man, he'll block the shot, and on offense, he's devastating. Now, his problem
you
is
you got to put him on GPS or what? You putting him on GPS?
You got to put him, exactly. You got to throw him on GPS, throw him on Waze, throw him on Google Maps, throw him on GPS. Because this guy is really, really as athletic and as devastating a basketball player as we've ever seen. His one drawback, too, is that he's not a pure point guard, and he's a high-volume shooter. He shoots the ball too much.
Is he better than Gary Payton? Is he better than Gary Payton?
You know what? He's better than Gary Payton. And I like, and you know me, I love
him.
We
love GP. GP
is a purer. But this guy is just – his God-given ability and his basketball skills, I mean, we haven't seen at that position a guy that athletic.
He's more explosive than Derrick Rose, too. He is. He's more explosive than Derrick Rose.
Especially coming off those injuries that Derrick Rose has been having recently.
Yeah. And then
D-Rose can't stay healthy.
To finish up Christmas Day, Ray.
The
5-26 Knicks and the Wizards playing amazing at 20-8. They win 102-91. It's depressing. It's not much to talk about except for, and it's not even about AC getting kicked out the game. We had to talk about John Wall because this kid, and we mentioned it a couple shows ago when we had a caller call in, our friends of the show, Oren, at 24 points, 6 rebounds, 11 assists, he is starting to impose his will on the basketball games. And he's John Wall. He's starting to be JW because he's about wins. And I like guards like that. I like point guards like that. We all know he's not a pure jump shooter, not consistent enough with the three. But Ray, what he's doing is getting his shots and points when his team needs him. But he's getting Gortat. He's getting Nene. He's getting Ariza. I mean, you know, whoever needs it. I mean, Pierce, excuse me. The ball and the baskets and Beal that they need and where they need it. And defensively, he's with their right there with Russell. He's a bloodhound defensively. He's so long. He can get in the passing lanes, and he could stick a point guard or sometimes a shooting guard if he has to. John Wall's got a little size to him. I'm really impressed with the Wizards right now. They're going to be contending in that Eastern Conference, Ray. They're going to be dangerous.
You know what? If you told me with the problems Cleveland is having a little bit now that Varejao goes down and a little bit of inconsistency, and you tell me Derrick Rose is not really healthy, you know, I can't bank on Derrick Rose come April, May, and June, and you tell me Toronto doesn't have a lot of experience. If I'm Washington.
And plus DeRozan's health, you got to question that.
Yeah, DeMar DeRozan not being healthy, and Kyle Lowry's a little untested as a point guard. How far can he lead that team? And Valanciunas, and these guys don't have a lot of player experience. If I'm in that Washington Wizards locker room, I'm thinking, hey, fellas, this Eastern Conference is ours for the taking. And you got to figure if LeBron and Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving stay and they get to know each other, they've got to be the favorites for the next 5 years, right, in the Eastern Conference. But this year, that Eastern Conference.
This year,
So get it together. Washington Wizards could represent the Eastern Conference in the NBA Finals. So this is their – I have a sneaky suspicion that they're building confidence. I'm not saying they're going to win, but, hey, why not?
One thing that's really interesting, and I'm going to just, you know, tell this, our friend to the show and our boy, Edgar Burgos from Hard to Guard, told me he spoke to Pierce at the Garden, and Pierce told him, he was like, we got a chance. We got a really good team. He said, we really do. And when Pierce, you know, says that, and he really feels, you know, he knows how to, like the Spurs guys, rest his body to get ready for the playoffs. And remember, the Wizards, you know, they're still getting healthy. Beal has been back a bit, but they're still waiting, I think, for Martell Webster to totally come back. Otto Porter starting to play better, Ray. So
Chris Humphries, you know, back to his old rebounding and
doing
and
it.
Kind of
they got a nice bench. Yeah, it's really – you know,
Butler making it.
Yeah, I was gonna say Rasul Butler, Garrett Temple, Andre Miller, the savvy point guard. So tonight, you know, before we go to college football, there's a couple of interesting games tonight. We got the Spurs at the Hornets, and I want to see this Rockets game at Memphis because if Josh Smith premieres tonight, this one right here, this is a classic game. The Rockets against the Grizzlies. That's a little holiday treat you put in your stocking or whatever you want to do for the fans to watch. It's funny because, Ray, the Western Conference with Dallas and, you know, different teams, now the Rockets making some moves, guys improving. You really want to see if Portland, Memphis, or OKC or the Clippers will add to their bench come trade deadline. Because I think the West is jockeying. They're all getting ready, you know what I mean, for the playoffs. And so that's what's going to be interesting to me.
And you said it. You said it, though. Think about the Houston Rockets picked up a, you know, when his head is right, a borderline all-star in Josh Smith.
Perfect.
So they are ready through the first salvo out there.
Yeah, that's a dangerous pickup. That's a
right, and they're 20-7. I mean, they're, what, 2.5 games out of first place in the conference, and they added Josh Smith. So I don't know if it's going to be an arms race and other teams are going to try and match that. But, yes, I do want to see how Josh Smith plays. I do want to see how he plays where he's the – you know, maybe he's got this Allen Iverson syndrome where he's always been or expected to be the best or the second-best player on that team. And maybe in Detroit he had trouble coming to grips with that. But maybe Houston, he knows he's not James Harden and he knows he's not Dwight Howard. So
I think it might be perfect.
Yeah, I hope so.
You know. And also we gotta account that him and Howard are friends, AAU together, you know, stuff like that in high school. They know each other. And you know, everybody's human beings, you know, I think that's gonna help. So let's slide on over. And let's get our college football fans a little love. Because, Ray, up on Saturday, we got 5 pretty good games. We'll talk about 2 or 3 of them with some ranked opponents. I want to ask you, what are you thinking about this Sun Bowl? ASU against Duke. ASU, you know, being one of the ranked teams playing at number 15. For me, I just think ASU's got too much talent. And they might do something where Bercovici and Kelly both play half, who knows. But I think Jalen Strong will be healthy. Remember, he got injured towards the end of the year at that game they lost to Oregon State. You know, he had over 1,000 yards receiving. He's a man-child, number 21. And DJ Foster, you know, from Scottsdale, got to represent. DJ Foster's a good, solid running back. I really think, overall, the talent of ASU is a little bit superior to Duke. You know, Duke's 9-3, had a good season. ASU is 9-3. I'm going to take ASU in a pretty solid win, 31-20 over the Dukies.
So I think I agree. I mean, this game is in El Paso, so you figure slight advantage to Arizona State. I don't know how well Duke travels in football. Obviously, travel in basketball, right? But to me, Duke
Hyundai
is all about
Hyundai.
Yep. So, you know, the winning coach get a Hyundai? I'll take a free hoopty. but to me, Duke is all about containing Boone. If you can contain their quarterback, then you have basically a good chance of winning. And I think that between Arizona State's defense and the fact that Arizona comes at you, like you said, with Kelly and Foster and Strong, I just think also that the ACC's been down this year and really only had a couple of decent teams outside of Duke. What do you have? Florida State.
And Georgia Tech.
Georgia Tech, yeah, those are really
You're saying they're not ready. They're not really ready for the Pac-12. Is that what you're saying?
No, the Pac-12 is awesome this year.
I know, that's what I'm saying. They're not
really good. At 9-3, Arizona State had a heck of a schedule. And I think that's going to bode well for them in the playoff game, in the bowl game, the Sun Bowl. And I think Arizona's going to put it on Duke. I think they're going to win big. I think they win 31-17. I think it's a big-time Arizona State. All your Tempe posse out there, they're going to be very happy.
So we got this other game in the Duck Independence Bowl. No ranked teams. I mean, gosh, Miami's 6-6. But I wanted to talk about this one because, surprisingly, South Carolina was 6-6. But this is an interesting matchup, another ACC, SEC matchup, kind of fascinating. And shout out to Connor Shore, who's just been named the starter, ex-Gamecock, for the Cleveland Browns this week, with those guys both being Herd Hoyer and Johnny Manziezi. So, but Thompson, Davis, I think on the outside, Cooper, I think South Carolina – they've got a lot of talent, but they haven't put it together all season. And I don't know if they're going to put it together quite for this game. I do like Miami's young quarterback. I like Duke Johnson. You know, Duke Johnson could be a potential Heisman back next year. He ran for 1,500 yards this year, The guy is legit. I'm going to go with the Canes, Ray. In a
Big
resurgence.
Daddy Kane?
I'm going to Big Daddy Kane in a little, you know, maybe it's an upset, maybe it's not. They're both 6-6. But I'm going to go with Miami. I don't love South Carolina's defense. It's been inconsistent all year, and I think Miami can score a little with them. So I'm going to go with the Canes. I'll say 30-23 over South Carolina.
So, interestingly enough, I think the old ball coach wants to prove that he's still the man, and 6-7 is not the man.
Yeah.
So he was a top, what were they, top 15 going into the season, then they quickly lost a few games and dropped out. And
Texas A&M
massacre. Yeah, never to be heard from again. But just like you said, the South Carolina defense is a little shady, but their offense is better than Miami's. And I think ultimately, while I love defense, and I think defense wins big games, I think when neither team is great defensively, I think that South Carolina's offense, I mean, Miami's better defensively for sure. I just think that South Carolina will be able to put up some points. I think in a shootout, South Carolina wins. So I'll say South Carolina wins this game 27-24.
Okay.
And Thompson wins the MVP. He wins
Thompson would need that. Dylan Thompson, he needs that. There was a lot of expectations on him this year, and it just never really happened. So this is interesting. How about the, you know, it's a whole different name now, but the National University Holiday Bowl. This used to be like the BYU Bowl when we were growing up. You remember that? But
Ty Detmer, Jimmy McMahon.
Gosh. Yes, and what about our main man, Robbie Bosco? I thought he'd be an NFL player. I loved him. BYU had a lot of quarterbacks at BYU, and guess what? There have been some quarterbacks at number 24 ranked USC, who at 8-4, another Pac-12 team in a bowl game, playing against the Big Ten. Nebraska's 9-3. Now, look, you know, I love Amir Abdullah. Nebraska's got the interim coach there, so that's kind of weird. I don't like what interim coaches are necessarily doing bowl games. They got Bell on the outside. Don't really love, Armstrong at quarterback or whatever. I think for me, when it comes down to it, Nebraska does not have a great secondary. Their tackling's poor overall defensively. And when you look at USC, they've got some talent on the outside. They've got Allen. They've got some talent at the receiver. And Cody Kessler, he's been underrated. He's had a great season, over 3,500 passing yards, 36 touchdowns.
Like 35, 36 touchdowns.
Yeah, right. I mean, he's balled out. So, to me, I'm like, wow. I mean, 97 receiving yards for their talented wide receiver. What's his name? Aguilar or whatever. I mean, Aguilar is a beast. I mean, you're talking over 1,200 yards. So, I think at the end of the day, USC's defense, not great, but good enough. Amir Abdullah might get his 100 yards. But, Ray, Cody Kessler's going to light them up. So, I'm going 34-24, USC.
Nelson Aguilar, that's your boy, the MVP.
Yeah, no, he's legit.
I agree. I think ultimately the best player on the field might be Cody Kessler, He will have a big game. I think that Sarkisian thought that he could have something special this year. Didn't quite work out. 8-4 is nice. 9-4 is nicer. So at Qualcomm Stadium, I same thing. I think USC wins. I think Nebraska's strength is running. I think USC, with a month to prepare, will stop Amir Abdullah. He'll have a decent game, maybe 90, 100 yards, maybe a touchdown, maybe even two. But I think ultimately Cody Kessler's going to open it up, and they're going to win pretty easily. I'll call it 27-17 USC.
So before we go to the NFL, because we're New Yorkers at heart, we got to talk about Boston College, Penn State in the Pinstripe Bowl, Yankee Stadium, baby. I mean, you know, it's sort of, I don't want to say not impressive team, But at the end of the day,
you can say it. 7-5 against 6-6.
Yeah, Ray, I'm not loving
those programs.
Yeah, I think Penn State's got a defense. I think Boston College, you know, had a program developing victory, you know, when they beat USC. But honestly, the Penn State quarterback, your boy Hackenberg,
he was on track to become a star.
He really did.
Then
supposedly
go coach in the NFL, coach the Texans,
and it just didn't work out for him. Yeah. I think Lynch didn't do too good in the running game. They just weren't that impressed. I think at the end of the day, it's going to be Murphy to the left, Murphy to the right. And I just think the BC, BC quarterback Murphy is too talented. And, I mean, you know, the guy throws a little bit for, 1,500 yards and rush for over 1,000 yards. And I think he's too much for them. And I'll take BC. It's going to be – I don't know the weather. What's the weather going to be like in New York? You know, you might tell me better, but it's definitely going to be a little yuck-it-up game, not too high scoring. I'm actually going to take BC 21-16 over Penn State, Ray.
So I agree. I think BC wins. I'm always worried with a month to prepare how you can stop or how easily you can stop a team that's so dependent on one guy, right? And so BC, they're both pretty good on defense, but BC is very dependent on Tyler Murphy, their senior quarterback, both running and passing the ball. And anytime you can have a full month to prepare for that is a little scary. But having said that, I just think, like you said, they're so poor offensively, Penn State, right? They're both great defensively. Or above average defensively. Penn State's a little better, but again, I think Boston College can score. And I think that in a close game, I think Boston College pulls away in the fourth quarter. So I like Boston College here, I'll say 26-17.
Yeah, and Monday we'll come on and break down, the I don't want to say the real games, but from Monday on to when we come back on Friday, we've got, the New Year's Day games. We're going to have the playoffs. So, Ray and Tay will really be, breaking all the main games down and giving you our picks. And it's going to be fun. So it should be fun. Obviously some good games, nothing, horrible, definitely entertaining. You get your chips and guacamole, watch some games. But then it really heats up starting on Monday for next week's games. Let's take a quick break, man. Let's rock some beats and let's come back strong talking NFL week 17. It's sad to say, Ray.
Pro Bowl.
Yeah, some Pro Bowl snubs and stuff like that. Fantastic.
To talk NFL. Can you believe it? I always get sad this time of year.
It's sad. Fantasy's over.
Fantasy's over. All the money's been paid out.
And
the playoffs are right around the corner, which means that we only have, three, four more good weeks of football, and then that's it. But let's enjoy it while it's here.
Yeah. I was gonna say, don't get me too sad, man. But you know what? We're gonna have a great basketball season and college hoops. Even though it's top heavy, it will light up. Got to talk about it. 1-4, Kentucky Louisville Saturday, Ray. That's gonna be a dandy. I don't think Louisville has the depth, but always a good battle when those two teams go at it. And it'll be interesting to see Kentucky be tested against the Patino team, you know what I mean?
Right. One of the only games where Kentucky might not be a 10-point favorite. And Harrell's sitting out, but he'll be back for that game. And I tell you what, I hope Louisville gives them a run for the money because Kentucky needs to be tested. You know what's interesting is they've been actually struggling a little bit on offense. Their defense has been clamping teams down, but offensively they've been struggling a little bit. Maybe it's that blue team, white team. I don't know. But definitely a fun game to watch.
Definitely. So when you look at the NFL, I mean, obviously the Pro Bowl, you know, has been announced. You can't argue, especially with the quarterbacks. I guess the one thing you would say is that, wow, you know, Russell Wilson definitely winning is a big thing, and but all these guys that are in are winning. You know, Romo, Luck to Rodgers, Brady, Manning, you know, Big Ben deserves it, all of them. Where would be the one place that you might have had an issue? I know for me it's at tight end because I like Greg Olsen, but Antonio Gates needs to be a Pro Bowl tight end this year. I don't know if you take off Jimmy Graham, who had a down year. Greg Olsen definitely was the only thing that your boy had. Julius Thomas, he kind of dropped off. He's had the 10 touchdowns early, Ray. But, I mean, does Gates not deserve to be on this?
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one.
Yeah.
My guy, my number one guy, and I'm telling you, he's a top 10 NFL receiver right now, is Odell Beckham Jr.
Yeah.
You cannot tell me that, okay, he sat out four games, but for the last 12 games of the season, you always ask yourself, okay, if Beckham's in, who's out? Well, I'll tell you who's out. You may not want to hear it.
Uh-oh. No, I know it's not my guy.
But I'm going to tell you anyway. It's definitely not Antonio Brown.
Yeah, definitely not.
But you talk about injury. You talk about injury. Why isn't injury knocking Megatron off that list? Why isn't injury
– And he didn't have the stats to back it up.
Yeah,
totally right.
And why isn't injury knocking A.J. Green off that list?
Yep, he didn't have a big season.
Now, granted, are they in my mind, better than Odell Beckham Jr. right now? Maybe. But this year, who had a better year? Odell Beckham Jr.
And you know what? If you want to be fair, you're so right about that. Megatron and Johnson should have been off. And the two that should have been on, Emmanuel Sanders from Denver.
That's the other guy,
yep. And Odell Beckham. You're totally right. And that's the one thing. I totally forgot about that. But Sanders and Beckham should have been over an injured and not overly productive Megatron and A.J. Green. That's a great call, Ray. You're totally right. What about, you know, obviously a very talented position. The guys talk a lot. What did you think about the cornerback? The cornerback position. Was anybody left off, or were you okay with?
You know, Vontae. Well, let's go down the list. Vontae Davis, Brent Grimes, Joe Hayden, Chris Harris, Darrell Revis, and Aqib Talib. So Talib was suffering a little bit from injury, didn't play, you know, all the games, but I was okay with that.
And
I don't know who.
Sherman made it too.
Right, and Sherman, of course, yeah. And I was okay with that. I don't know who you would and Patrick Peterson, obviously.
And Patrick Peterson.
We left off. I don't know. I mean, you know, off the top of my head, that position didn't seem to bother me. Did anybody, you know, I think, you know, the only people that other than the people that you named, you know, Eddie Lacy, potentially Forte, maybe Fletcher Cox. I don't know that I had any corners. I mean, do you have any corners that you think didn't make the list?
No, I think these guys are pretty good. You know, listen, Joe Hayden is a player. You know, I would say I think Vontae Davis is very underrated. He really helps that Colts defense. And maybe a little surprised about Chris Harris from the Broncos. You know, the kid Gibson from Cleveland had a lot of interceptions. You know, he didn't make it. Peterson got burnt a lot. That's the one thing. I like Patrick Peterson. A lot of criticism that goes to him is that even though he travels with the one and plays all over the field, a lot of people say he relies less on technique and more on athletic ability. And he got lit up, not just against Peyton Manning, but in a couple of games this year where he got burnt, you know, obviously playing man-to-man. So I think overall I'd have to say that Darrell Revis has been the best corner I've seen in the NFL this year, and maybe I put Richard Sherman too. I like to
well, you
move,
know, it's
but
funny, and the Seahawks got three of the four secondary members again.
Boom, that's right.
They got Thomas and Chancellor at the safeties, and Richard Sherman at the corner. So
yeah, you're just missing
again,
Maxwell, yeah. Yep. Oh, no, they deserve it. Those guys definitely deserve it. So, that's it. I mean, it's one of those things where, you know who I'm glad that made it, and I think he needs to start to get the respect that he really deserves, is Bobby Wagner. Because I think Bobby Wagner is the missing piece why they were struggling for a couple of weeks. And then while things started to get right, you know, Chancellor and Wagner came back. Bobby Wagner might be the best linebacker, definitely inside linebacker in the NFL. I think he's great. And I love C.J. Mosley getting it, Ray, from the Ravens. What a stud. So I was happy to see that.
Yeah, this crew of just the inside linebackers, think about it. Your boy Lawrence Timmons, C.J. Mosley, and, of course, Luke Kuechly's there every year now.
Yeah.
And Bobby Wagner. That's a nice set of inside linebackers. You know, because all the glory goes to the pass rushers, right? All the glory goes to, even though Bobby Wagner can rush the pass too, but even though the glory goes to those defensive ends, the, you know, DeMarcus Wares and the Mario Williams, and J.J. Watts, that can get to the quarterback and get a lot of pub. But inside linebacker has been kind of a neglected from a glory perspective.
It's an art
form. In the days, Mike Singletary's of the world, where are they? But that's a nice set of inside linebackers they've got this year.
Oh, yeah. No, I definitely would agree with that. Let's start looking at some of these picks for these games that, you know, really, really matter. Obviously, we got to note that Chase Daniel will be starting for Alex Smith for the Chiefs and their battle when they host the Chargers. But let's first talk about Cleveland at Baltimore. The Cleveland's done. Baltimore's got a shot. If they win and then San Diego loses, they're in. So what do you think about your boy starting, Connor Shore? And I don't know. I just don't think Cleveland's got a shot. I think Connor Shore is going to play well. I'll just keep it real simple. Ravens win, I'll say 24-16 over the Browns.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think this is one of those situations where the Browns had that momentum and then they've just hit a wall. They don't have enough on offense. They don't have enough to slow the Ravens down on defense.
And Ravens need a good game. They need to step up.
They
right?
do. They do. And Justin Forsett went out and bought all of his linemen 55-inch TV, so maybe they'll block extra hard and extra strong for him. Flacco needs to put up a good game, prove that he's still an elite quarterback. He's got that ring, but, you know, again, you got to produce the next year. So I think the Ravens do put it together. I think they win pretty easily, though. I think they win something like 27-17.
Okay, the team that we mentioned, we talk about the Chiefs, 8-7, the 9-6 Chargers. So Tay could have his AFC picks perfect. I'm going to go with the Chargers because I actually think with basically 4,000 yards passing – and a jacked up back and maybe needing surgery. It's just one of the most heroic performances I've seen from a quarterback in Phillip Rivers. 31 touchdowns. I love this guy. He's a warrior. He's had a couple of bad games. But, you know, I've never – if you think about his career, Ray, never have we seen a quarterback constantly, either from the GM or injury, always lose backs, receivers, tight ends in a season. I don't think since he's played the quarterback position, he's had a season with like his, you know, starting receivers, tight end, and running back play with him for an entire season. It's just never happened for the guy. So I kind of feel for him. But you know what? I think they're going to win. They're going to beat the Chiefs in KC. It's a tall order for Chase Daniel. And maybe he'll do something because Alex Smith wasn't killing it either. And they're just going to have to give it to Jamaal Charles and Kelce and Niall Davis all day. But at the end of the day, 27-20, Superchargers.
See, I want to go for Phillip Rivers. I want Phillip Rivers to go deep in the playoffs. I think he's earned it because of his play, playing hurt. Remember, he was traded for Eli Manning, first to the fourth overall pick. But Kansas City's a tough place to play. And I think that Kansas City has the best, if not most dynamic player on the field in Jamaal Charles, and they need to get him the ball. And if they do that and Alex Smith plays his game where he doesn't turn it over, I think San Diego is missing something on offense this year. Keenan Allen's been inconsistent. Malcolm Floyd is okay. You know, Brandon Oliver, Ryan Matthews, banged up Antonio Gates,
Eddie
Royal. You know, but none of these guys are guys that are carrying the Chargers. It's been all on Phillip Rivers spreading the love. So I just think that in Kansas City, in late December, where Kansas City's thinking, you know, at the very least we can play spoiler in the division, I think Kansas City gets Jamaal Charles the ball. He has a huge game, 3 touchdowns, 130, 140 yards, even though that San Diego defense is decent. I just think he's going to break out this game. Now Davis might do something on special teams. Alex Smith doesn't turn it over. They get the tight ends involved. Travis Kelce. Kansas City Chiefs win 27-24, foiling the Chargers season.
Wow. Well, you know what? We got a caller. Let's see if the caller has something to say about that Charger-Chiefs game.
All right, let's put him in.
Caller, you're on the air right today?
Hey.
What's
how
up?
You doing? Who's this?
Good,
where are you calling from?
Arizona.
All right, what's your name?
Adam.
Adam, how you doing?
Adam, what's up,
all
buddy?
All right.
Yeah.
So, Adam, just so you guys know, he's an eighth grader here in Scottsdale, Arizona. He's 13 years old. He's a Browns Charger fan and a bunch of different teams, all sports. Real smart kid, and he's doing an internship with Ray and Tate today. And so, Adam, you are on with us, and we got to ask you your thoughts and your opinions about some sports. And I want to know, Adam, for week 17, you just found out that Alex Smith's not playing. Can your Chargers take care of the Kansas City Chiefs on the road in a hostile environment?
I think they can do it. Now that Alex Smith is out, Phillip Rivers and the Chargers offense are going to be looking to get through this Chiefs team after their first loss at Qualcomm. And with the Chiefs knowing that their quarterback's out, it's going to put less confidence in them. And with the Chargers win, obviously they're going to be in the playoffs no matter what. So it's going to be huge for the Chargers. The Chiefs, on the other hand, we need a lot of assistance. So it would be a lot of work for the Chiefs. As for the Chargers, it's a win. They're out. Like last year when the Chargers won in Arrowhead and Kansas City won in Qualcomm, and it's how it's going to turn out. Chargers are going to win.
Okay. Right. I kept saying Alex Smith. I meant Chase Daniels. But, yeah, we'll see. And the game means more to the Chargers. They win, and they're in the playoffs. They lose, they're out, most likely.
Yeah.
So, all right.
Okay, that sounds good. So, you know, Adam, we also want to get two other picks from you. One is sort of, you know, more about playoff positioning. But with Lindley being named as a starter and not Logan Thomas, Bruce Arians is, you know, traveling to Levi Stadium with the Arizona Cardinals against the Niners. Can Arizona sort of better or keep, you know, some good positioning for the playoffs? Can they beat the Niners in Harbaugh's last game probably?
Actually, no. I think the Niners are going to win this game. I believe the Cardinals would probably just take it easy this weekend. They've already clinched playoff berth and everything. So even though they're starting their fourth string quarterback, I believe, San Francisco would just want to win. Arizona's going to take it easy with no injuries. And I think San Francisco is going to go in and go out with a win.
Okay. I think it's going to be a very interesting game. That one is that's kind of hard to predict, Ray, for me. If I had to throw my hat in there, I'd say the Niners, they're going to put it on Arizona because they're going to realize they're saying goodbye to one heck of a coach. They lost their last home game against the Chargers, and that was sort of a heartbreaker. I'd say the Niners and Kaepernick and everybody, they, you know, against a solid defense, they wind up winning, I'll say, 26-17 over the Niners.
Yeah, I agree. I think the Niners is a big psychological difference between 8-8 and 7-9 for a team that
you know, I kept saying was the best team in football over the last 3 years. The other thing to keep in mind is that this game doesn't mean anything for the Cardinals in so much as, you know, they're going to be in the playoffs. They're probably going to be a fifth or sixth seed. And I always said, look, they're going to lose three in a row. They're going to lose their last two playoff regular season games. They'll lose their first game in the playoffs. So this team is banged up a little bit. The Cardinals and the Niners have – they're playing for a lot of pride. So I agree. Niners win this game pretty easily, I think. I think the Niners will win 30-13.
Okay. So, Adam, before we let you go, I want you to pick one more game. I'll just let the audience know that Adam has, you know, he believes the Steelers and the Packers will win. But while we have you live on the air, Carolina Panthers at the Atlanta Falcons for the division title and actually hosting a playoff game, even with such poor records. Who wins the NFC South, Adam?
I think it's the Atlanta Falcons. And showing me that they could go to New Orleans and beat the Saints is a huge thing. And with Cam Newton not at his best health right now, he still has some injuries, but he's looking pretty good. I just like Falcons in this game. I think they're just going to get the job done. So the playoffs next week against the fifth-ranked seed. And that's all I got to say. The Falcons are going to win 27-24.
Wow, 27-24. All right, great. Listen, Adam, great job. Keep up the good work. You know, we got Adam doing research with us for a couple more episodes. We appreciate it, and hope you're having fun and learning things. And, you know, shout out to Mission Montessori, and, you know, wish you well in school and a happy new year and happy holidays. Thanks so much for joining us on Ray and Tay today,
Thank
Adam.
You.
We appreciate it.
Great call, cool, Adam.
Thank you, too. Thank you.
Happy New Year.
All right, great. Ray, let's stick with this one. You pick it first. Who you got, Panthers, Falcons? What are you feeling with this?
You know what? This game is so confusing because neither team deserves it. This is just embarrassing. We should put Alabama or University of Oregon in there or something because they deserve it. Even though this team – you know, one of these teams is going to go to the playoffs. Either it's 7-8-1 or it's 7-9. Amen. And you know what? Because this game's at the Georgia Dome, because this game's in Atlanta, I'll go with the Falcons. I think
okay.
That.
Okay. Does it save
Panthers
his job?
Is,
does it save his job?
Yeah. Mike Smith? No, no. I think they clean shop. I think they've underachieved for two straight years. And with the clock management issues, it's more than just they're underachieving. I think there's some things that point to the head coach, and they need a fresh voice in there. Something is rotten in Atlanta, and I think he's a good coach, actually. I just think it's a raw deal that you have to do, though. You have to bite the bullet. You can't have a third straight year. I mean, Matt Ryan is in his prime, and, you know, those two wide receivers are studs. So I think the Falcons win, though, in this game. The Panthers' D has been inconsistent. You know, at times they've been lit up. At times they've been the Panthers' D of the last 2-3 years. Riverboat Ron will take a couple gambles. Maybe a couple of them pan out, a couple of them don't. But I think ultimately the Falcons win at home 28-24.
I love everything you and Adam said. And even to talk about Mike Smith, I'll take it one step further. I look at the running game all year, and then you see last week Devontae Freeman plays and gets busy, and he couldn't get on the field all season. And you look at all rookie running backs and rookie receivers have played so well, you almost wonder, why weren't you playing this guy, coach? It's not too smart. I'll say this. You know what? It doesn't smell good in Atlanta, and I think he is going to be fired. And I think Cam Newton and Jonathan Stewart and this kid named Benjamin with 999 yards, 9 touchdowns, and 72 receptions, he's definitely a candidate for Rookie of the Year. He will get over 1,000 yards. He'll wind up with 10 touchdowns. And I think the Carolina Panthers squeeze out a victory.
Really?
26-24 over the Falcons. Too much Stewart, healthy, and Cam Newton running the ball, keeping Matt Ryan off the field. Go, Panthers, go. We got to talk about this one, Ray. Green Bay hosting the enigmatic Lions. Who are they really? Their last big win over a winning team was when they beat Green Bay earlier this season. I'll let you pick it first, but I'm fascinated to see what you think about this game in Lambeau Field.
Lambeau Field is the key. I think the Lions are a good team, learning to win tough games and tough games on the road, and this is about as tough as it gets, a December game to win the division in Lambeau Field. I think the Lions are only 4-3 on the road, Green Bay 7-0 at home. And you know what I think about Aaron Rodgers, Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb, another guy that could have got some consideration for Pro Bowl. Eddie Lacy should have got consideration for the Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
I just think that this Lions defense is good, but the Packers know how to pick you apart. So, to me, the Packers win this game, win the division, send the Lions to the fifth or sixth seed, depending on the Dallas game. Packers win, I'll call it
31-23. I'm fascinated by this game because the Lions, they're a little bit healthier. Bell and Bush, you got Tate and Megatron. The problem has been the quarterback, though. And even when his toys are there, he hasn't looked that impressive, which is surprising because I feel like Caldwell and Lombardi have really gotten the offense of the team in the right direction, especially Caldwell in terms of leading the team. You know, Lombardi, the offensive coordinator that came over from the Saints, you would think that Stafford, it would be better. You know, 4,000 yards, only 19 touchdowns. I think at the end of the day, Green Bay, Lambeau Field is too much, that surface. Those receivers, you know, now your boy Grover Quinn, he might do something. He can take one, pick one off, whatever. And they've been, you know, Levy, they got some defenders over there in Detroit on the back end now. But it's going to be too much. I'll say Rodgers leads them 28-20. Packers win.
You know, okay. It's the same outcome.
They get that division. So I guess we do got to just mention if Seattle does win, which I think we both feel that they will get the number one seed, and the Patriots have already clinched that in the AFC. You think the Rams can mess it up, or will Seattle be able to handle them?
I think the Rams can mess it up. I don't think they will, but I think the Rams are just that type of team, 6-9, oh, yeah. Nothing to lose. Jeff Fisher, that tough, hard-nosed coach. And I think it'll be a close game, but I think ultimately the Seahawks in their house, they did lose to Dallas, but in their house they don't really lose. So Seahawks win, number one seed at stake, and you got to go to the Super Bowl. You got to come through Seattle. So I think the Seahawks win in this. In a close game, I think. Close, low-scoring game. So I'll say 23-17 Seahawks.
And I'll say 24-13. We got to talk about it. It's my team. Sunday Night Football. We're going out with a bang. Ray and Tay breaking it down. We'll be back Monday to talk about it. But at 10-5 and 10-4-1, the Steelers are hosting the Bengals. This is for all the marbles with Chris Collinsworth, Al Michaels, everybody. Ray, I think the guys got into the Pro Bowl like they deserve. Bell and Brown and Ben. At the end of the day, I know your man has been running like crazy, Jeremy Hill, but I still think Andy Dalton, he's not going to put together back-to-back games like that. A.J. Green might not play. If he does play, he's going to be extremely hurt. He might be short of 1,000 yards, which means he shouldn't even be in the Pro Bowl, 6 touchdowns. We win. The Steelers win. I'll say 27-20. Pittsburgh wins.
You know, I would love to go against the Steelers just to aggravate you, get under your skin a little bit. And the
I know. And
I picked the Bengals to win the division. I thought they were the best team in the division. I tell you what, the Bengals are lucky to be 10-4-1.
Very lucky.
as they've been and as up and down as they've played on both sides of the ball, they're lucky to be 10-4-1. So having said that, with a banged-up A.J. Green and Andy Dalton, who I don't know where his confidence is, to me, the biggest find is Jeremy Hill. And I had him on my fantasy team, and I dropped him because I got too impatient.
Cute, right? You got
but
too cute.
This kid ran for 1,000 yards. The only thing is I think Pittsburgh keys on him, shuts him down. And without him, I think that offense stalls a little bit, especially given that A.J. Green, if he plays like he says, not going to be completely healthy. Gresham, Sanu, all these other guys, they don't scare me. They'll get you some first downs, but they don't scare me. I think your big B's, Ben, Bell, and Brown, the three Pro Bowlers, are just a load. And Pittsburgh puts it on the Bengals. I think Pittsburgh wins 31-17 and runs away with this.
That's sweet music from your ears. By the way, I do think your Cowboys will win against the Redskins. I think a little payback. They want to win this game. My question is in terms of how long the guys play, you know, with Murray banged up and Romo's back. I think they might just play a half, but I think there'll be enough passion and momentum. Do you know what I mean? That maybe they win an ugly game like 20-17 or something. I think the Cowboys will beat the Redskins. What are you feeling?
Yeah, I think the game will be close, though, because those games always are. And I think, unfortunately for the Cowboys, I think they'll have to play them the whole game just because they'll be caught in the momentum of winning and they'll want to, you know, take care of business. And wait a minute. They play at 1 o'clock, and what happens? The other games are late, right? Yeah, the Seattle games are at 4.
Detroit's late and Seattle's later.
Right, and Detroit is later too. So Dallas is going to have a situation where they'll have a chance mathematically at a top seed, right? So I think that, right? Can Dallas get the 2 seed?
They could win the 2 seed if Detroit wins, but, you know, I think Dallas will wind up being the 3 seed.
It would take Detroit winning and Seattle losing, right? So it's theoretically possible. We don't think it'll happen, but it's theoretically possible. So you got to give your guys a chance, and I think because of that, Dallas is going to go all out and play their guys. But even saying that, I think it will be a close game because those interdivisional games typically are. So I think Dallas wins a close, low-scoring game, 23-17.
Yeah, I said 20-17, but I'll go 21. Now, RG3 and Cutler. Cutler is playing. Clawson has got a concussion, so Cutler's back. Do they both come back just because of it's too hard to trade places and get rid of a starting quarterback
it's
in NFL?
It's too hard.
Yeah.
Like we said, unless they've traded for each other, it's too hard.
Yeah.
You know, he likes Brandon Marshall. He's had some rapport with Alshon Jeffrey, Cutler, that is. He'll be back in Chicago. And I think the RG3 experiment was so expensive that you got to let it play out. And you had a rookie head coach, so you don't really know if it's the rookie head coach or the third-year quarterback, but you got to let both of those play out at least one more year.
Yeah. Well, great show. It's great to have our intern, Adam, come on, make some picks. Everybody enjoy the holidays. Now, we'll be back before the new year on Monday. Monday, a big show. I got to ask you one question before we leave, Ray, but we're going to be, you know, picking the college football playoff, the big bowl games next week and for, you know, New Year's Day. But I need a number from you and a prediction. Black Monday is coming. How many coaches Monday morning are gone?
I'll say, if not Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Right. In general, it doesn't have to be on
that
Monday,
week.
But I mean, how many guys are losing their job in the next, you know, week or two?
I think five or six.
Yeah, I'm gonna say five on the low, and on the high, it'd be surprising, but I would say eight.
Wow.
Yeah, I would be shocked. I'd be shocked, but you just from year to year, you don't know who could do what or just say, you know what, we're jumping ship. But I would say five is that magic spot. So, Ah, great show, man. And listen, we wish it was no coaches, you know. I mean, these guys work so hard and their families so supportive and the sacrifice that, you know, all families make for one another. But, you know, these guys put in hours that are, you know, ridiculous. So, you know, as sports fans, you hate to see, you know, them lose their gigs. So, anyway, good games tonight. Check out the Rockets and the Grizzlies. Like always, Ray is globetrotting and I'm juggling babies. So we'll have a good sports weekend and everybody watch some hoops, some college football, college basketball, and watch Sunday football. NFL season ends. Ray, it's been a fun football season, and you know what? A great year. Monday, Ray and Tay will give you maybe some of our 2014 greatest sports moments too. You know, we'll have to reflect a little, Ray, for the fans, you know?
Absolutely. And everybody, enjoy the sports weekend. Have fun with your friends, your family. Get your sports on, and we'll be right back here on Monday.
All right. Thanks for listening. I'm talking sports with friends. Peace.